even just human or superhuman activity, but it's transcendental. That is one sure mode of liberation.
Mm.
It gains liberation when he understands that he is not born. So that's the ninth verse.
Yeah, ninth verse. Krishna promises that one attains his abode and never takes birth again in the material world. Then what next verse, what does Krishna say? But one is, let's say in this life, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. What is the result he gets?
He says, if you know that it is transcendental, that is sufficient. We all know that, right?
Yeah, we discussed this.
Oh, we discussed that. I'll have to listen to that.
Right. Yeah, because it's like, it's more about, I think still it's important. It's not only knowing, it's realization. Because it's Krishna has to reveal, right? It's not just theoretical knowledge. Then other thing is, I've mentioned about a lecture I heard where Prabhu was explaining the details of how the birth took place. It's very, very complex actually, you know, the way potencies act and how he was transferred to Nanda Baba's home and all those things. So explaining itself is so complex, and then he told, you know, this is what it means when Krishna says, if you understand me, you'll never take birth, because your whole life you can spend in trying to understand that single pastime, how it happened in depth. So then you'll be like, you know, intrigued. It's like, okay, what happened next? What happened? Oh, actually this happened, that happened. Whole life you can spend, and then by that time you'll be absorbed in Krishna and you can go back to Krishna. That's what he was telling. Yeah, so then, but if the whole life if we absorb in Krishna, what does Krishna promise in the next verse then?
In this life itself.
This life itself will attain transcendental love for Krishna. So what are the, can we briefly summarize the three aspects? Attachment, fear and anger, we discussed in purport, right? So what is this attachment about?
So, attachment, that's the attachment to the material body.
Because of which people neglect spiritual lives. Right?
Yeah.
Because they think, no, God is also like us. He also has material body, so why should worship? Then fear?
Fear of continuing with personal identity in the spiritual world. That's why they want to be
They want Brahman or, you know, impersonal. They want to visualize a world where there's no identity. Because they're frustrated with relationships in this world. Okay? And then anger?
Because they can't follow what is going on. So there's way too many explanations
paths.
And paths. That
and they're frustrated.
And that points to anger, and they do like that fox and the sour grapes. Right?
Everything is sour, so you know, okay,
yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, so then they get frustrated and they take shelter of anger and they say, you know, I don't want, they become atheistic. So all these three aspects one has to transcend in order to completely take shelter of Krishna. And what the solution Prabhupada gives in how to get rid of these? One has to take complete shelter of the Lord, guided by the bona fide spiritual master. Right? That's the way to get rid of these three, these three material consciousness, or no, aspects of material consciousness. So last few lines, you know, if we see Prabhupada is saying, by this slow process of devotional service under the guidance of bona fide spiritual master, one can be elevated, all this attachment, fear and anger, and then attain transcendental abode of the Lord. Text 11. We have covered like three different understanding of this verse, right? Krishna says, as all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path.
Like based on the realization, based on the rasa, and based on what they want, one of the six aspects.
So here in this verse, Krishna is saying, you know, people can approach him with whatever, any desire they want, and Krishna accordingly they will reward. He will reward them. If somebody can approach him with material desire, somebody can say, I don't want anything. I want only pure love. Or somebody within the pure devotion service, somebody can approach with different rasas. So we have covered three different aspects of this, how Krishna reciprocates, right? And actually there is very nice lecture by Radhanath Maharaj on this verse, where he goes very, very deep. He was saying, as much as, like, I was listening to it again, you were saying in the process of devotional service also based on our inner desire, that's what Krishna reciprocates. Like, you know, whether we want to see devotees and Krishna and holy name as ordinary, we approach them as ordinary, let's say, oh, holy name is not anything, you know, prasadam, oh, what is there, you know, I've been eating prasadam. Devotees, oh, they're like ordinary people, I've been there for 10 years, same people, you know, they keep chanting Hare Krishna, nothing happens. So if we treat them as ordinary, Krishna reveals them as ordinary. So it's like, as we approach Krishna, see this verse says, as we approach Krishna, Krishna reveals like that. See, if we want to see Krishna as impersonal Brahman, Krishna reveals impersonal Brahman. If we want to see as localized Paramatma, he reveals himself. If we want to see as all powerful, supreme, all beautiful Bhagavan, Krishna reveals himself like that. Right? So similarly, within the various aspects of devotional service, as we approach different things, the mood with which we approach, Krishna reveals them. Like if we approach with respect and connected to Krishna, like, you know, prasadam is connected to Krishna, Krishna reveals the glory of prasadam. You know, we can see how by giving prasadam so many people are coming, and we can, our faith increases more and more on prasadam. And if we approach devotees as, like, you know, they are very special, you know, I want to you know, love them, respect them, serve them as much as I can, my capacity, then Krishna shows, you know, how these devotees are gems. Their qualities come out, and all the time we hear those glories. But if we approach them as, you know, like ordinary, you know, there's not, if they go to, they also go to work, they also chant, you know, mechanically, all those things. That's what we see, that's what we hear about them. So Krishna nicely, you know, essentially he is reciprocating with our mood in the service or the devotional service. So it's very crucial in this verse, Maharaj was mentioning, very crucial to fix our motive or, you know, our approach. Otherwise what happens, we fall into trap. Imagine, this is a very, very crucial thing. Please try to, you know, listen carefully. See, we left the material world because this, we found it to be very miserable, and took shelter of Krishna, thinking this is the only hope, right? Because we couldn't find any hope elsewhere in the material world. We said, okay, Krishna, you are my only shelter, and we came here. And now after coming here and finding Krishna is the only shelter, and we take devotional service and practice devotional service, within that, if we find no hope, where is our hope? Where can we go? So we'll become completely lost, right? We left the material world and took shelter of Krishna in the spiritual life. And if we are not able to get the taste in the spiritual life, or we are not able to, you know, get the real essence of the spirituality while practicing, then we basically treat it as mundane and ordinary. Then basically it's like, you know, we are merging the worlds and we are not really attaining the path. So it's like, it's a terrible misfortune. That's what I meant to say. It's like, you know, it's hopeless. It's we should never, we should guard against these mistakes. As much as, you know, he keep hearing, you know, minimally we should keep
being
of treating everything as material.
Then where do you
come? Yeah, initially when we come, we see everything special, right? Every devotee seems like pure devotee, and, you know, every aspect of just cleaning this one, or, you know, just washing a plate, or just eating prasadam is so special for us. You know, we relish so much every moment, right? Because most of our life was material, and then this is little bits we are getting. But after some time, when whole our life becomes Krishna, then we start thinking whole of life becomes material now, because we don't see Krishna anymore. It becomes mechanical and mundane.
It becomes routine,
mechanical. Then we don't see that special aspects of, yes, Krishna is reciprocating, yes, this is Krishna. They always say, right, you always go back to start from beginner's mood. This is what Rompad Maharaj says in Japa Retreat every time. Be in the beginner's mood. It doesn't mean you have to start from ABC, but the mood should be like, I don't know anything, I'm here to receive. Always be.
Even if you're in the satsang of other devotees, that can happen.
Exactly, yeah. That, you know, oh, I've been, see, so many lectures, many times. You might have also felt, right? So many topics, same things we keep repeating all the time. Prabhu tells us all the time, oh, it's the same thing I'm hearing, what is... Then it's like, you know, we are getting into the trap. Instead of, you know, this is about Krishna, let me be as much attentive. This is the only hope for me from this material life.
So you need to be inquisitive as well.
Eagerness. Okay. Very, very eager.
And maintain it.
Yeah, and maintain it. We can maintain it with the help of, you know, proper devotional service in association with eager devotees, enthusiastic devotees. Okay. So text number, next verse, what did we discuss? So Krishna was again saying, if Krishna could reward everything, why would they go to demigods? So that was the connection. So why would anybody approach demigods? Because of quick results, because people want some sense gratification mainly, and all that too very quickly. Even Krishna could avoid it, but he avoids it after purification, so they don't want to go there. So we in that purport proper discusses demigods, their role, and you know, all those things. Then next verse, text number 13. Then somebody may question, like, you know, whatever happiness, distress somebody gets, is it really, you know, is it dictated by Krishna? Does Krishna decide, okay, he's going to be a Brahmana, he's going to be a Kshatriya, he's going to get this much wealth, he's going to suffer like this with this disease? Does Krishna decide and, you know, put them like that, force them to be like that? So the answer is given in the next two verses. But Krishna says he doesn't involve in all these things. So in text number 13, Krishna says he created this Chaturvarna, no, Varnashrama, but yet he is not the doer. He doesn't put people in those appropriate divisions. They automatically find their space according to their guna and karma, qualities and activities, right? And then the purport proper says actually Krishna conscious person is above Brahmana. He is a Vaishnava. And as Krishna is transcendental to this system, Vaishnava is also transcendental to the system. Right? We discussed earlier verse, remember, Vishwamitra could act. Two examples Prabhupada was telling in the purport. Somebody can act like Brahmana versus Kshatriya, right? Two Acharyas he was telling. Vishwamitra and somebody, Dronacharya or somebody like that. In the purport, he was telling. Earlier verse, maybe this chapter, I'm not sure. Third chapter, right? Yeah. Okay. We'll go on. So then. I think Parshuram. Yeah. I don't know. It should come on this side of the page.
That is true. Because Vishwamitra and Parshuram.
Haha. I just opened that game that. Yeah, Vishwamitra was originally Kshatriya, but later he acted as Brahmana. Whereas Parshurama was a Brahmana, but later he acted as Kshatriya. Yeah. Okay. So it's 3.35. Okay. Okay. So we have to do verse number 14 today, right? So Krishna is continuing to say that he is still the non-doer. That's verse number 14. Namam karmani limpanti name karma phaleshpruha iti mam yo abhijanati karma virna sarvadyate. There is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruitive reactions of work. So what is Krishna saying? There is no work that affects me. That means, we get bound by the work, right? Karma, reactions, actions. When we do something, we get action, reaction. But Krishna doesn't get any reactions. First of all, his work is not mundane. It's all completely transcendental. He doesn't do any work, but if you call it work. Nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. So what does this mean? We discussed this earlier.
He's not
seeking anything from this world, because he is the controller, proprietor of the whole creation. And one who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruitive reactions of work. So we'll come to that, Okay, now I understand. Does it mean I qualify with this? Prabhupada clarifies, what does it mean to understand this truth about Krishna? When we know that Krishna doesn't seek any results and Krishna does only, transcendental activity, when we realize that, that person becomes fully Krishna conscious and he also doesn't seek anything from this world. Because he finds that, what's the use? I would rather serve the person who is above all this creation rather than seeking you know, mundane results. That's what Prabhupada clarifies in the purport. So we'll read from the beginning.
So, but this is a lot like this Karma Yoga, essentially. This is
yeah
similar to what we learnt in chapter 3.
Mm.
So these next few
yeah verses. Krishna also said earlier, right? He said that he is not the doer. You know, he where. Yeah, he doesn't have a duty. He meant to say, doesn't have a duty, but still I do it because I am setting an example. Otherwise, the world will be put to ruination and there will be Varna Shankara and all, he was saying. But here he is saying in the sense that he doesn't have to do anything, yeah, and he doesn't seek any results. And a person who understands that also, essentially he is trying to say that he is not doing anything in this world. He just creates the rules. But he doesn't get involved in the nitty-gritty details. Prabhupada clarifies this with many analogies. The purport.
As there are constitutional laws in the material world stating that the king can do no wrong, or that the king is not subject to the state laws. Similarly, the Lord, although he is the creator of this material world, is not affected by the activities of the material world. He creates and remains aloof from the creation, whereas the living entities are entangled in the fruitive results of material activities because of their propensity for lording it over material resources.
Mm.
The proprietor of an establishment is not responsible for the right and wrong activities of the workers, but the workers are themselves responsible.
We can pause there, Mataji. So, you know, here Prabhupada gave two examples, right? First is king. King is not subject to state laws. Or rather, we can give an example of, you know, police, right? Sometimes, or when there is an emergency or something, they can jump the red light, everything, they can go because of their service. They are not bound by those laws. So similarly, you know, Krishna created the system, but he is above that system. And then another example Prabhupada gives is that in a factory establishment, there will be some activities, but the workers themselves are responsible for their activities, but the owner is not responsible if something happens. So essentially, it's the same. Like, you know, he creates the rules and lets people play with them. So there are obviously there will be side effects if you do good or versus bad, and everybody is bound by that. It's up to the workers how they behave. And another example is like further down, like last three lines before the Sanskrit words. For example, the rains.
Yes.
For example, the rains are not responsible for different types of vegetation that appear on the earth. Although without such rains, there is no possibility of vegetative growth.
Yeah, we can pause. So, this analogy, right? Like, without rain, there is no growth. But at the same time, rain doesn't decide, okay, now potato will come here, now, you know, brinjal will come here. Right? It's not deciding this thing. But that is the cause. Without rain, nothing will grow. But you cannot blame rain that, you know, that this vegetation is coming here.
So in this example, rain we are considering as a
Krishna.
Oh.
So without Krishna, nothing is happening in this world. But at the same time, we cannot blame Krishna for anything wrong in this world, because we are responsible. Okay, then down, the created beings of many are of many varieties.
The created beings are of many varieties, such as the demigods, human beings and lower animals, and all of them are subject to the reactions of their past good or bad activities. The Lord only gives them the proper facilities for such activities and the regulations of the modes of nature, but he is never responsible for the past and present activities. In the Vedanta Sutra, it is confirmed Vaisamya Nirganye Na Sapek Satvat. The Lord is never partial to any living entity. The living entity is responsible for his own acts. The Lord only gives him facilities through the agency of material nature, the external energy.
You can pause there. Right, Right, so it's the same thing, right? This thing we have been repeating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord only gives them the proper facilities for such activities, right? Raw materials and the regulations of the modes of nature, but He is never responsible for their past and present activities. Got it? So He just creates, gives the raw materials, you know, and at the same time regulations. I was surprised when I read this. You know, whatever I was trying to say from my own words. No, Prabhupada said it very, very nicely. You know, I never thought that I could find this actually. The Lord only gives them the proper facilities for such activities and the regulations. Like, you know, if you do this, this happens. If you do this, that happens. But He never is responsible for their activities. So, individually, each of us chooses what to do and we get reactions. So, Lord only gives him facilities to the agency of material nature and energy. Okay, now the real thing, which is like, you know, a person who knows this, how can he also become transcendental? That's what Prabhupada is going to explain. Anyone who is fully conversant, we can continue the purport.
Anyone who is fully conversant with all the intricacies of this law of karma or fruitive activities does not become affected by the results of his activities. In other words, the person who understands this transcendental nature of the Lord is an experienced man in Krishna consciousness, and thus he is never subjected to the laws of karma.
See, he got the key. A person who understands this transcendental nature of the Lord, that means in order to realize this nature, one has to be an experienced man in Krishna consciousness. That means a person is fully Krishna conscious already. So if he's a fully Krishna conscious person, he never does any karma. Because he does only akarma, right? The activity is only in devotional service.
I follow the purport and I follow the translation. I'm not able to join those two together. I'm struggling there, Mataji.
Like which?
So there is no work that affects me. Nor do I aspire for the fruits of action.
Mm.
One who understands this truth about me does. So okay, so Krishna is not... So Krishna is not doing anything, or even if he does something, it's not going to affect him. That's fine, I got that. But then when you start down this, it talks about us though, right?
No, then the purport Prabhupada is telling how, like for example, king is above the rules of the king.
That's
this
right.
Thing.
So
he meant to say that Krishna is above the system.
Correct.
And similarly, he says rain is not responsible for the vegetation. So Krishna is not responsible for good and bad activities we do.
Sure.
Right. So this
okay.
is all in line.
Okay.
And then later on, when we read about this, Krishna gives the proper facilities and regulations, but he doesn't decide the past and present activities. That's also the same thing. Krishna is not a doer. Right. He
it's the same thing.
He meant basically the whole point is Krishna is not the doer.
Okay.
He was six. He's emphasizing that with different examples.
Okay.
That he just creates a system, but he doesn't get involved. So that's a connection Prabhupada is making. And the last paragraph is about how a person who understands this is also is a fully Krishna conscious person. So how a person who understands this also becomes not affected by fruitive results? How, see, Krishna says, we discussed this, so I wanted to refer. Krishna says, right, one who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruitive reactions of work. So how does it,
how
do we understand this? Or, you know, how does this happen? Or what is, we read that in 2-3 lines in the purport. So can somebody summarize?
When the activities in Krishna consciousness are non-binding, therefore they are not subject to the law of karma. Therefore, we also become free of that. We already know that Krishna himself is free of all the activities because he is like the king and he is not subject to the laws. So he sets the system and now we understand the system so we can step out of the system.
Mm-hmm. So that's very good. Like little bit online, but main thing I was trying to say is Krishna says one who understands this truth about me. So you address the second part, but we miss this first part. One who understands this truth about me also doesn't get entangled in fruitive reactions, right?
Yeah.
So we read the three lines in the purport which explains this. Prabhupada says, A person who understands this transcendental nature of the Lord is an experienced man in Krishna consciousness, and thus he is never subjected to the laws of karma. So that means a person who understands this about Krishna is actually a fully Krishna conscious person. It takes full Krishna consciousness to understand, to realize that Krishna is a non-doer. Theoretically, we may accept and we are in the journey, as you mentioning. But you know, same point Prabhu was telling, right? Oh, I know Krishna's birth, so that means, you know, I'm going to go back, right? So same thing. But Prabhupada is clarifying, he is an experienced man in Krishna consciousness in order to realize this truth about Krishna. And that person, because he's already experienced in Krishna consciousness, he never does any karma. In the sense, he only does devotional service. Yeah, you are also correct. We are on the way, right?
Yeah,
we are building Krishna consciousness,
yeah,
and we are doing akarma parallel. But Prabhupada, Krishna is talking about the final person, the final goal.
So, reading and
realizing,
understanding and then realizing it are like worlds apart. They are,
yeah,
they're not even mentionable in the same breath. So
yeah,
that's where we all are.
Yeah, yeah. So how do we convert reading into, or you know, theoretical knowledge into realization?
So once you will apply in your life, the teaching, once you will start living by it, then you will,
yes,
gradually
realize. So take some aspects and try to live by it. That's a very good point.
Realization will come up.
Who's?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh. Yeah, that realization will come. Yes. Yeah. Krishna will reveal deeper truths about the same verse. Like, you know, we may feel like, oh, I'm executing this verse. Like Krishna says, you know, like, no, detach, be detached to the results, do as a duty, right? Every aspect of our life, we can remember that and think that, you know, I'm trying to do it, like at work or at home or anything. We may say, oh, do it as a duty, don't be detached to results, right? Every minute, we will be tested. Am I, you know, even to feed kid something to kids, we will be hoping that they will eat nicely, you know. So then we can go deeper into that verse as to like, okay, what does it mean to be detached from results here? Right, we can, Krishna can reveal deeper meanings there, like, you know, we can go very, very deep in that, like that. So it's not like, you know, it's book and it's kept in the shelf and my life is something different.
True.
So somehow we should connect.
So in that context, Mataji, I think we were doing some months back, like,
yeah,
in the class, we were taking one talk, one learning, and we'll try to apply that learning in a week, I think.
Yeah, once we did one work,
like,
yeah.
I think you can at the end, you can just put a keyword, what is the key learning today, that we can at least start judging ourselves, not applying it, we can judge.
So then, the point Prabhu was telling is service. So while reading and chanting, if we do some fixed services in temple or somewhere where, you know, we know it's fixed, it's accountable and a regular service, even small but regular, we do it, through that service Krishna reveals everything. Our whatever knowledge we are hearing, the realizations we get through the service. Otherwise it always remains mental. Okay. Okay, we can continue the purport, rest of the purport. One who does not know
the transcendental nature of the Lord and who thinks that the activities of the Lord are aimed at fruitive results, as are the activities of the ordinary living entities, certainly becomes entangled himself in fruitive reactions. But one who knows the supreme truth is a liberated soul fixed in Krishna consciousness.
So Prabhupada is saying the contrary is also true. So one who does not know that Krishna is transcendental and his activities are not fruitive, he thinks, okay, Lord can do it, so Lord also has fruitive aim. Then, you know, okay, everybody wants this, even God also wants it, so I also want it. Then he doesn't have any ulterior, or rather, you know, any higher goal. Okay. We'll go to the next verse. Evam jnatva krutam karma purvairapi mumukshuvi kuru karmaiva tasmatvam purvai purvataram krutam. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty, following in their footsteps. So now Krishna is telling, you know, there are many liberated souls in past, they have acted with this realization of him. So you should also follow their footsteps and perform your duty as a devotional service to me. Yeah, we can start the purport. There are two classes.
There are two classes of men. Some of them are full of polluted material things within their hearts, and some of them are materially free. Krishna consciousness is equally beneficial for both of these persons. Those who are full of dirty things can take to the line of Krishna consciousness for a gradual cleansing process, following the regulative principles of devotional service. Those who are already cleansed of the impurities may continue to act in the same Krishna consciousness, so that others may follow their exemplary activities and thereby be benefited. Foolish persons or the
neophytes
in Krishna consciousness often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna's desire to retire from the activities on the battlefield was not approved by the Lord. One need only know how to act. To retire from the activities of the Krishna consciousness and to sit aloof, making a show of Krishna consciousness, is less important than actually engaging in the field of activities for the sake of Krishna. Arjuna is here advised to act in Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of the Lord's previous disciples, such as the sun god Vivashvan,
as mentioned herein before. Yeah, we can pause it. So Prabhupada started off telling, you know, there are two classes of men. One is like completely polluted, and other person is pure. But both of them can take to this process of Krishna consciousness, and the polluted person can take it so that gradually he can get pure, right? Whereas the other person, fully Krishna conscious person, also can follow, because to set an example so the others may be benefited. And the next, that was one point. The next point Prabhupada is trying to tell, you know, how generally people have a sense of Krishna consciousness is retirement from activities. Initially, that's what everybody thinks. If somebody starts going to temples, all the people say, no, don't go there, you know, you will change, you will give up work, you will give up your family, you know, they will brainwash you. That's what they tell your friends.
See, one thing, actually, Prabha and I were talking about this earlier today, was even if you don't have to retire from your activities. I think that's not the right thing to do unless you're ready for it. But you also have to make sure you don't complicate your life.
Yeah.
I mean, keep it simple if you can. Because I think the more you complicate, then it is, you also go the...
I think... It's okay. No, it's okay.
No.
You go the opposite direction. I mean, you complicate means your mind is always thinking about something. And
yeah, that's very true.
But what is simplifying your life is also...
It's so personal. It's all...
Yeah, it's all...
Something simple to me may not be simple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so
Mataji, Srila Prabhupada, he keeps giving one example, you know. We work very hard but we just do chapatis at night, right? So, you know, that's also kind of contradiction of what is here. So we shouldn't work too hard, at the same time we shouldn't just sit and chant Hare Krishna, right?
I think both are same. What Prabhupada is telling, what you are saying is also same. So there is a concept called, or rather, you know, there is a principle called over-endeavoring. So in Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami is one of our acharyas, right? He is a disciple of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is our, one of our, what? Namacharya? He is one of our gurus of devotion service. Actually, we are called Rupanugas followers of Rupa Goswami. He is one principal acharya. So he has written two books, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Upadeshamrita. Nectar of, which is translated by Srila Prabhupada as Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. As part of Bhakti Shastri, eventually after Bhagavad Gita, you will be reading Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion and Isopanishad. So these are very important books for any, you know, any practitioner of devotional service. So a Nectar of Instruction, very, very, if it, actually it's a very short book. If you are interested, you know, you should just take a shot and, you know, read it. Very, very sweet.
I've read half.
Yeah, it's very nice. Very, you know, key principles for our progress in devotional service are mentioned there. So first verse he mentions, second verse he mentions about six aspects which help in devotional service. Utsaha, nishaya, dairya, tattat karma pravartanat. Okay, I think I forgot the next two lines. It says, you know, enthusiasm, nishaya, determination and patience. These three are the first three. And, you know, following the other acharyas, if you read the verse, you can get the, there are six aspects. First three I remember, enthusiasm, patience and determination. So here also it's contradicted. You know, you should be enthusiastic, but you should be patient. It doesn't mean, you know, I'm enthusiastic means tomorrow I'll get results, otherwise I'll become impatient and I'll stop. We are enthusiastic to put our effort, but we are patient for the results. Right? Okay. So that's the second verse where it talks about six favorable factors for devotional service, which should cultivate. And the next verse it talks about six factors which impede our devotional service. One of which is atyahara, over endeavoring. Atyahara means it's overeating also, or it Prabhupada also clarifies in detail, it's over endeavoring for material things, more than necessary, much more than, let's say I have a director position, that's not enough for me. Okay, I want, you know, supreme director position. Is it really needed? But the thing is, again, somebody may think it's needed, somebody may think it's not needed. So again, it's all, so ultimately, you know, the only thing about all this is, it's all about our sincerity. It's about our sincerity. Krishna will reveal, you know, as I mentioned, right, as we approach Krishna, Krishna will reveal. So if we have this sincere desire, Krishna, I want to dedicate my life to you, please show me the way. Krishna will tell, you know, this is nonsense, don't do this. You will get the knowledge, you will get the realization, you will get the strength to do it. It's not just, you know, gets just an indication and you keep always remembering, oh, I should not do this, I should not do this, and you will struggle. It's not like that. Krishna, if we are so sincere, Krishna will give the direction where to go. He will give all the help. He will also give you the strength.
But it's also our intentions, right?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, sincerity.
Yeah, because even if we are working hard, but instead of thinking, I'm working hard, we're working hard, our intentions are good and for some higher cause, I'm working, maybe I may be having that capacity to make a lot of money or something, but I'm not keeping that for myself, I'm just doing, have a higher cause for it, then I won't feel tired.
Then it's devotional service, it's very clear, if we want to get something, right, it's very easy. If at all when we are doing something, we are really getting frustrated and anxious, more and more anxious, we can easily see, you know, we are doing it with material consciousness. If we are doing something and we are getting more and more, you know, enthusiastic and enlivened and joyful, we can understand easily, you know, we are doing it for Krishna and we are receiving the taste of Krishna consciousness. And we will never be tired. We would like to, you know, same, that's what I gave an example, right? You can even work 24 hours. Normal, you know, you can corporate work also, you can do 24 hours for Krishna. And it's not over-endeavoring. Over-endeavoring means it's for material things, you know, sense gratification.
Because I'm doing it for myself, I'm so attached to the result, I'm not sure whether I'll get it this way, the way I like.
So, for Krishna, it's never over-endeavor. You can give whole life, still it's not enough. Right? So, actually, I was listening to very nice connecting, I think. So, I didn't listen to the question somebody asked. I listened to the answer. From that, I can guess the question. So, somebody was asking, you know, why I should chant Hare Krishna or something. You know, why is Krishna demanding me to do it? I'm guessing that's the tone of the question. From the way Maharaj is answering. Radhanath Maharaj. So, he was answering that, you know, Krishna has so much love for us. He's willing to give you a spiritual word. You know, everything, all the bliss and happiness which we missed. He is willing to take away karma, your karma of so many lifetimes. He is willing to, you know, Sarvadharma Parityaja, don't fear, you know, I will take away all your reactions forever to come. Right? So many things he wants to do. But what he wants in return is your love.
Oh.
Right? And that love, the only clause is, that love is in his terms. Because that's what it means, love.
Okay.
It's in his terms. And what are Krishna's terms? You just chant my name, just read my books. You know, I've come here and I've enacted pastimes, I've given some books about, there are some books about me. Just read that books, just chant my names and just do some activities for me. That's all. And if you just do that, in one life I'm going to take you. Just, you know, few hours. So, you know, so then Maharaj was emphasizing after telling all, the way he explained, you know, you feel like, you know, yeah, that's true. Why shouldn't I not do this? You know, why am I thinking I have to do so much for Krishna like that, you know? It makes us feel what we are doing is nothing, very nothing. And for the reward Krishna is giving us, you know, the entrance into the spiritual world, and with all the, you know, eternal happiness without going through this cycle of birth and death, all these pains forever. Right? And so much of enjoyable rasa with Krishna alone, Krishna himself. And what the price we have to pay is so less. So then at the end Maharaj was telling, you know, when we hear, you know, what we need to do in with the proper perspective, it doesn't feel like a burden. We should hear, you know, what does it mean to do devotional service, you know, why I'm, then you feel like, you know, always you will feel I'm not doing enough actually. See, some people we see, right, they're always thinking, you know, I'm not doing enough, I want to do more, I want to do. I can give one example, like, there was to be one Mataji, she left here and went to Houston, you know, very very exemplary, you know, I take so much inspiration from her. So very everything exceptional, you know, real Vaishnava who we read about in books and this thing, we can see in example. That's why, you know, we wanted to follow her. So when we see somebody in practice, right, it's much more easier to follow than reading something. Everything just spotless, you know, her humility, her behavior, and no, never offends anybody, just absorbed in Krishna. So then I always used to think, because for me there should be something which takes us more further, right? Always there should be something. It's either we feel like, you know, I'm not pure enough, then, you know, there should be something which should keep us going. Either, you know, I didn't reach that goal of Krishna, so okay, I have to continue my devotional service. Or okay, I'm not pure enough, still I have this impurity, Krishna, please give me gratitude. Or I don't have qualities, oh Krishna, I don't have still gratitude, see, I want to chant more. Okay, I don't have humility, oh, I want to chant more. Something should keep us going, because we didn't reach the goal yet. So for me, there were some other things. I know what, you know, always keeps me. So I used to think, what? She got everything actually, I felt. No, she's executing in such a pure state. So what keeps her going? So I didn't ask her directly like this, but in the way of discussions, I could understand what is her thing. What she says is, I wish I can be more efficient. I want to do so many services, but you know, I'm sleeping so much. I'm not able to do, and the way she does service is so efficient actually. I would take 1 hour, she will do in 10 minutes. The garland, she uses big needle and she does one garland in 5 minutes. Because she has so much desire to do so much service, she feels she's not doing enough. That's what keeps her going. It's like, I wish I can, no, I can sleep less, or no, I'm wasting time. I went there and I didn't do anything. I didn't hear about Krishna. And she feels guilty about it. That's what makes her humble. That's why sometimes it's wonderful to think how wonderful devotees feel humble. No, they have so wonderful qualities. Why can't they be proud? But somehow they become humble. Somehow Krishna gives the way they think. No, they always feel they are not doing enough for Krishna. They feel always humble.
Going back to what you said. See, you said all you have to do is, you know, do some, you know, chanting, do some service, read some books, and you know, Krishna will take you. Okay, so that's one way of looking at it, right? That's, to me, that's simple. But then you can also say, I am going to do this and I'm going to open up a temple. So suddenly you've complicated your life, I think. Right? And some people do that, right? And then when you say, I'm going to open up a temple, now suddenly you've added, you know, you have to go get permits, you have to do this, you have to build a temple, you know. You know what I'm saying?
See, that's the thing.
Is there a right or a wrong? I know there is not a simple answer to this. I'm just saying, you can be at one end of the spectrum where you say, I'll just do, you know, simple devotional service, or I can do complex devotional
service. See, the problem is, there is no problem in complicating our lives with for Krishna. That's the only thing we have to choose, you know, we have to be very clear is, am I complicating my life for me or for Krishna? If you do it for Krishna, you will become your devotee.
You don't even think that it's complicated.
No, listen. So it's, you don't even think it's complicated. You don't even feel the side effects and you will not even feel you're stretching yourself.
We are not there yet, so it's very hard for
exactly.
us to understand.
Exactly. It reminds me of one very nice incident. So when Srila Prabhupada was establishing temples, right, when he came, and Prabhupada really, really wanted to establish Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, which when we go, we see, right, very wonderful temple. He wanted the temple. So he assigned Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, his disciple, to, be the main person in charge in building the temple. And Maharaj is like fully surrendered disciple of Prabhupada. Prabhupada knows that whatever I assign, it's done. Because he knows that's the surrender of the disciple. He'll get it done, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, he's going to get it done. So then, he's very involved in, dealing with the contractors, brick and cement and, all people, India. And he's American. And he has to stay in India and, all these mosquitoes, weather, all these things. And, people, Indian, usually they cheat, right? So many things. And, all these things. He's dealing all this. So one day he came to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, all the other disciples in Vrindavan, your disciples in Vrindavan, this is Vrindavan, right? Vrindavan, what is it, you just go to visit temples, you hear about Krishna, right? This is what you need to do in Vrindavan, generally, right? You see, hear Krishna Katha. So all my other god brothers, they are chanting nicely, improving the quality of chanting, they are hearing Krishna Katha, they are absorbed in Krishna. So nicely, but day and night I'm thinking about cement, I'm thinking about okay, one second, I'll just finish this.
Yeah,
you can come, it's okay. Just one second.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, that's why. Okay, I'll complete next week.
That's okay, Mataji, there also.
I know.
He came to listen too.
No, I was just trying to intrigue you. Okay, he's scared. Okay. So,
I think we can continue.
No, that's okay.
It is their first birthday today.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I can hold him if you want. I can hold him. Okay. So,
thinking about cement and all.
Huh?
Thinking about cement and all.
Yeah, thinking about cement.
So he said, day and night I'm just thinking about, cement and laborers and this person cheated, this person mixed some other mud in this cement and all these things. So, am I really doing devotional service or, is this really my devotional service? Then Prabhupada said, don't worry, this is your devotional service. If you just build this temple, in this life, the end of this life, Krishna is already building a home for you in Vrindavan, in spiritual world. Just, this is your service, you just execute it, that's all is needed. So that's what, day and night, somebody may think, he's not Krishna conscious, he's over-endeavoring, right? But whom is he doing it for? And also other factor there is under the guidance of a spiritual master, that's very important. I may decide on my own, I'm capable of building a temple. I can start off with that, but then when I see the money, I may run away and do something else. So we don't know what we are qualified for. That's why we need a spiritual master to guide us and, tell us. And he can raise the bar, as we mentioned, raise the bar and always push us higher and higher. And that's why Prabhupada many times says, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. So it's the only thing is it for me or is it for Krishna? So for Krishna, somebody may say, spiritual world, spiritual life means there should not be any anxiety. Right? But actually, if you want to be you, if you have to be anxious for Krishna, then that's the anxiety we need. We'll not be anxious anymore for material things, like, you know, I want to buy this, okay, oh, okay, there is some ad I saw, I want to go to this mall, oh, I'm going to miss it. So we'll no more be anxious for that, but we'll be like, oh, I missed this class today, you know, or, you know, Friday came and something happened, my friend, some other party came, oh, I missed this class. That's anxiety for Krishna, so we want that. It's not like, you know, we always have this mistake, like we cannot apply certain things. We think spiritual life is, so there is no anxiety, there is no, you know, sleeplessness. No, if we really want to serve Krishna, you will not have proper sleep. That's good.
Then how fear will you appear? Like, we have fear here.
It can be fear of Maya. Afraid of Maya.
Yeah, but like you're saying, we have anxiety in material world, so anxiety is there as well. In spiritual world. So I'm saying fear is in material world. How fear is fitting in the spiritual world?
Yes, the way we can apply fear in spiritual life is that we are afraid that if we don't follow properly, I'm going to get trapped in material world. So, you know, with that fear, I'll take up devotional service seriously. I fear that if I don't do devotional service properly, I'm going to get stuck again. So I don't want to do it. We are not afraid that, you know, Krishna will not reciprocate. It's not those things. We are clear from Shastras, right? Krishna promises the whole world for us.
But ultimate goal is to love Krishna. But out of fear, love, it's not a bridge.
Fear. No, we don't want to. We are not serving Krishna out of fear.
But you said, like, if you are not serving, we have a fear.
We are afraid of this, you know, material existence. We don't want to go through this. It's not fear, rather we are disgusted. One,
I think Prabhu is talking about spiritual world, but in spiritual world, if we have anxiety, so will fear play a role there?
Yeah, there is also, one aspect is, there is also fear in spiritual world. It seems in the Goloka Vrindavana, there is a rumor that demons are going to come. See, when Krishna comes to Gokula Vrindavan, right, when in this world, there are real demons, Kamsa and all these demons, which Krishna literally kills them, right? In the spiritual world, everybody is serving Krishna. So there are no real demons to Krishna to fight with. But there is a rumor that, you know, KC demon is coming, or Agasura is coming, or Bhaumasura is coming. So many demons are coming. There is a rumor. With that rumor, all the devotees get anxious and afraid. Oh, demons are coming. Krishna, please help me. So because that fear increases their love for Krishna. So that's good.
Even in the other case, the love for Krishna increases because I'm so afraid.
That's exactly, I'm afraid of this material existence, so my love for Krishna
is the only way out.
Yes. Okay, enough? Done, right? Okay. Okay, we completed this section at least. Yeah, so we thought, like, we will take your blessings for the kids. So Prabhu said we'll break earlier. Yeah.